This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thanks. I just want to say about this session tonight, really, really, really want to say that, you know, maybe you don't feel like this applies to you, like, directly, but see kind of how it does apply. Like, there has to be some way in which it does. Maybe it does directly, and that's fine. If it doesn't, just kind of hear maybe what the Lord would have for you in it, because I'm going to be really talking straight about what it's like to be an addict. Really, what I would consider to be a genius solution for the way out. So I'm going to put this on the board, and some of you may say, I've already seen this, and that's fine, but maybe I'm going to come at it from a little different angle. Maybe I'm not, but I'm going to put this on the board. For those of you listening to the podcast, I'm drawing a circle on the board, and this circle is kind of just, the idea of this is it's a ball or a tire. It's something just rolling along, right? And, you know, I grew up in a home of addiction. My sister's here, and we both grew up in a home of a lot of addiction, prostitution, a lot of various crimes being committed around us, and a lot of chemical use, a lot of problems. I noticed right away as I grew up that people around me seemed to have something like going on that I didn't seem to have going on. Like, they were kind of rolling along in life. That's how I've always seen it. It's just like this. Like, they're just flying. They're just rolling real smooth. Going to school, graduating, getting a job, getting married. Like, in every day-to-day life, it would just kind of blow my mind, really. I was mind-boggled about it because I felt like this, okay? Like, I felt like I was shaped like that. Okay? Just a weird shape. Now, see, if I try to roll along, right? Like, not only is it a whole lot of work to get going, it's very annoying to myself and others when I do get it going. You know, just really, really difficult to roll. Like, normal stuff. Like, these guys seemed, people on my left and right, it's like, I remember asking them, how are you doing this? Like, you get up, you eat eggs and bacon and toast, you go to work, you come home, have relationships, go to bed, get up, like, no crimes, no chemicals, you know, no cops. Like, I didn't understand, honestly, I just didn't understand. I remember actually sitting there, a guy over breakfast, he was a friend of mine, I'm actually looking at his eggs and toast, and I'm going, how are you getting out of that eggs and toast a life? Like, how are you able to do that? Like, from that. Like, I don't understand how eggs and toast is producing such a functional life. Like, I really didn't understand how a person could live life, get up, do the right thing, eat eggs and toast, go to work all day, have relationships, go to bed, and do it every day. Like, it blew my mind, honestly. But then I discovered something. I discovered chemicals. Like, I discovered drugs, okay? And what happened to me was, all of a sudden, here I am. All of a sudden, check it out. Now who's rolling, right? Now I'm rolling, right? I'm not just rolling, I'm rolling, right? And I can do it without bacon and eggs, right? Like, I got that. Like, I understood how that would produce that, right? Like, I got it. It lit me up, guys. It lit me up. My brain would fire, and I got it. Like, I could do it, and I was rolling. I could get up, go to work, have relationships. Like, I could perform. In fact, the ways I was the weakest, it just seemed to really make up for it. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, I got it. Like, this is my answer. I was made to use drugs. Like, I really believe that. Like, maybe I wouldn't say it, but I experienced it. Like, it was real to me. Like, all of a sudden, and all I wanted to do wasn't really about getting high. Yeah, that was part of it. But it was really about just trying to live life, trying to get through a blasted day, right? What these other people seem to be able to just do, like me plus this stuff, now I can pull it off, right? Open a few bottles here and there, have a little bit of this. Now I got it, right? Now I'm rolling. But the one thing is it would turn on me. Like, I would become a monster. Like all of a sudden, like, I'm rolling on top of everybody, and I'm taking. Like, I'm a snowball gaining strength, right? It's out of control. Like, when I put it in my body, not only did my body just go, yeah, but it went, yeah. Like, it got really... Like, I mean, I came alive, right? And my body just took to it. And biologically, I realized, you know, my body is really taking to this in a way very different than, like, when this guy got a toothache. He'd get a few pills, you know, he'd get some stuff, and he would take it. And then when his tooth quit hurting, you know, he just chucked the rest away. Like, he'd throw it away. I'm like, whoa, you know, like, you threw it away, you know, that's the stuff, right? And it was very painful to watch, like, normal people going through normal life, doing what, like, normal things just didn't compute to me. You know, if you guys recognize this, you know, the founders of AA, they were so smart. Now, you hear me say that a lot, and that's another thing I experienced. Is everybody around me seemed to be a genius. You know, as I was growing up, I remember talking to guys. They'd be in high school, and they'd put lessons in front of them. They'd figure it out, and they would do their work, and they'd just know how to do stuff. And I'm like, how are they figuring this stuff out? Like, these are real big problems, right? And I remember going, that guy's a genius, you know? Talking to this other guy, he learned how to be a mechanic, and he could just figure it out. And I just couldn't figure out any of it, right? Righty, tighty, lefty, loosey. Like, I'm still there, right? And I just thought, that guy's a genius, right? And I remember my brother saying, you know, Stan, maybe everyone's not a genius, right? Right? He's like, maybe you're, you know. I'm like, nah, I like it a lot better when everyone's a genius, right? That feels better. In AA, they were so smart. They were geniuses. They really, really were. And I believe the 12 steps were right from God. I really do. To deal with addiction. Because they're very biblical. What they figured out is when they consumed alcohol, it did something to their bodies very different than it did other people that didn't deal with alcoholism. Like, it lit them up in a way very different than the normal guy. You know? And they figured this out. Like, I'm different than other people. I remember going to a party at a dude's house, and they'd start passing out stuff, and I would consume chemicals, and everybody was consuming some chemicals. We're having a little party, like, boom, 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 right? And as soon as the chemicals came out, you know, my eyes changed, boom, my body changed, I got round. Right? I was rolling. And I honestly remember 5-6 days later, the people that had the party, they went to bed that first night, got up, eggs, toast, went to work, came home, went to bed. You know, they went back to life. Me, like, there's no way. I'm just getting started here, right? And I remember them, honestly, I remember them looking at me like 5-6 days later. They're like, you're still going? Like, you're still doing this stuff? Like, I mean, they were like shocked. And I remember kind of being ashamed. Like, yeah, I'm still freaking out. You don't know what I'm seeing over here. Like, you know, you don't know where I am, dude. Like, I'm way, way out there, right? And pretty soon, the only people I could hang out with were other dudes that knew how to be round the way I knew how to be round, right? They weren't round like the way I wasn't round when I wasn't on chemicals. Unless you're looking at this diagram, you know, that sounds really weird. And so the founders of AA realized that they had physically, biologically, something different about them chemically that wasn't the same as other people. That when they consumed alcohol, they had what they considered to be an allergic response because they responded to it in a way that ruined their lives. Their bodies all of a sudden did nothing but crave more and became monsters, right? And so they came to this conclusion, and they were very, very smart. I can't ever, ever, ever put alcohol in this body, ever, because what it does to me, what it does to my life, what it turns me into, can't ever do it. Well, it seems like perfect answer, right? Perfect answer. If you don't put alcohol in your body, never be drunk. Never put drugs in my body, never be high, right? Never be so round that I'm rolling over everybody. Just don't do it, right? Pretty easy. So what I did was I just quit putting drugs in my body, right? And you guys can see where this is headed. I mean, now look at me. Problem solved, right? Huh. What a mess. You know, now look at me. And see, the thing is, my body didn't have drugs in it anymore, but now my mind. Okay, how does this relate to other problems? It relates very, very much. So this is where I hope other people that aren't addicts in the way I was an addict can connect it. And see, my mind would obsess now on using. My mind now would be consumed with doing it again, with remembering what it was like, right? And I became so irritated to be this guy surrounded by these people rolling along, eggs and toast, going to work, hide to their wives and kids, pick them up, kiss them, go to bed, go to sleep. I don't get it. How are they doing that, right? And look at me, flop, 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 flop. Like, I'm a mess. I can't even do normal things. I don't even get it. It's so difficult. It's so much work. It's so painful. And in the language of AA, I became restless, irritable, anxious. I had all these problems of being in that shape. And so my body triggered my mind, and now my mind is triggering my body. And they came to this genius conclusion that I am powerless. Because my body's out of control. Biologically, it's designed for addiction. And now my mind remembers. Remember what it was like? Yeah, you're having a hard day, Stan, but remember when we would roll? Remember that day when you rolled like nobody's business? You rolled better than anyone around. You remember that? How that felt? Just to be normal. Just to fly along as smooth as the wind. And my mind would convince me to do it again. And around and around and around that would go. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like those who know they have nothing to offer anybody. A guy shaped like that, I knew I was powerless. Like my mind betrayed me every moment. All it would do was be consumed with doing it again. My body ready to go at any moment when I would do it. And this condition would lead me to betray my parents, my loved ones, cause me divorce, cause me to be a horrible father, caused me to go to jail many, many times and not care about any of the consequences because all I wanted to do is do it again. Pretty painful stuff, guys. Now, the writers of AA came up with a genius solution. And let me read this to you, guys. This is so genius. The 12 steps, guys, is no joke. It is genius stuff. And I believe that there's going to be a group of people that looks back on our day and age, and yeah, they'll say, look back on that day and age at the technology and the leaps of knowledge and science, but there's going to be a whole group of people that looks back and sees the genius of the 12 steps and how they work, because it's that powerful, okay? Hear this tonight. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You'll find rest for for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, they came up with a solution that says this: my body's out of control, my mind is insane and out of control. So their genius solution was this: I'm going to take my will and my life and I'm going to turn it over to the care of God. I'm taking it out of my hands. I'm taking myself completely out of the equation because I'm insane. I'm insane. And I'm going to make the most genius move. I'm going to take my will and my life and I'm going to turn it to the care of God. My hands off the lever. My hands off of everything. Did you got anybody watch the inauguration? You know, what that is a giant transfer of power. And we're talking about a giant transfer of power. Can I have my sponsor, Dave Wilcoxon, come up here for a second? Where are you, Dave? This is my sponsor, Dave Wilcoxon. You guys give him a hand. Yeah. You know why I said that? Because there was an awkward silence of him coming up. So I thought we could just fill it with applause. All right, let's check this out. I'm going to try so not to break this. All right, can you hold that up, like put one hand under? I'm going to say there's a reason I asked him to come up here. And it's because he's my sponsor, okay? Now, how about I have Tony, you come up here too. And how about this big guy here? What was your name again? I'm sorry. Okay, let's have them come up here. You come up here and you wrap. You're right here and you're right here. These guys are bad to the bone support, okay? These guys represent the church. My buddy Dave represents my sponsor and mentor, the one who is trailblazing ahead of me that I trust, who knows the Lord, who can mentor me, walk me through the 12 steps, hold me accountable, ask me a tough questions, stay current with my life, not current like last month, current like yesterday, current like an hour ago. Here I am taking my life and my will. This is my life and my will. Check me out, right? My life and my will, right? I've protected it. I've developed ways of feeding it, comforting myself, self-gratifying, all these things, self-soothing, self. And I've been in command. And now I have come to the place where I have one decision to make, and it's super important, and it's a transfer of power. It's the one move that will save my life. And I will actually become somebody that I was designed to become by making this very courageous, super brave, super bold, super genius move. I take my will and my life and I turn it over to the care of God. And I put it in God's hands. I close the door, right? And I take my hands off. And for the first time in my life, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. My plans, my schemes, my ideas, all my plans of how I'm going to save me tonight, make myself look and feel good, my plans, my will is in there, guys. You know what your will is? You know you write a will, what you want done, how you want it to go? In there. My life and my will, everything I do from this moment on is based on that step 3. From now on, thank you guys for staying there. Stay there with me, okay? You guys are rocking. I'm just feeling this. See, did you hear that? I'm here with you, and I know you are. From now on, he's the boss. I'm his worker. From now on, he's the master. I'm his slave. From now on, he's my father, and I'm his child. Right? From now on. Let me just show you this. Watch this. We're going to walk from here to Dave Goff and back. Just watch this. Okay? Dave, you lead the way, and these guys are right behind, and I'm right. Check out, where's my life and will, guys? Check me out. I'm going places. I'm rolling. I'm going places I've never gone. I'm doing things I've never done because my life and will are in the hands of God, right? Let's go on back. See, there's my sponsor. And I'm close enough to Dave. He knows when I go make a break for it. And I want to take that back out. And check out the church. Check me out. They're proud of me. I'm proud of me. I'm back here resting, guys. I'm back here trusting God with my life and will. My job, and this is the hardest thing for people that struggle with addiction, check out what my job is. Rest. Leave it there. You know, I'm sitting at home. It's a big weekend. Everybody's partying. Everybody's got stuff that came in. It's the stuff. What's my job? Hey, I'm telling you, Dan, this is real life to me, man. You can ask my wife about this. This is real stuff, okay? Where's my job? Whew. Rest. Thank you, God. I'm saying tonight, thank you, God. Now I can go visit my life and my will. You know, hey, how's it going? Right? And they pray for me. Right? They encourage me. They love on me. What do you tell me? Sam, I'm proud of you. Check it out. How long has that been in there? You know, man, you've just done amazing. I'm growing. Right? I'm doing things. I'm resting in the hands of God. You could put that on the table. Thank you guys very much. That's awesome. Okay, I just want to say this too. When the Lord empties a house, he promises, like, what he's going to do is he's going to begin to fill it. He'll begin to see, my biggest fear, and I know this about addiction because I lived it my whole life. I know this is what people are thinking. They think that if I give it up, I'm giving it up for nothing. Like, yeah, I'm going to turn over my drugs and all these things that made me roll along, and I'm trading it for what? A bunch of church meetings? A sermon? You know, what am I trading it for? Nothing. Emptiness. Darkness. Like, they really feel afraid that they made a trade and they're going to get nothing. But you know what? That's how sneaky it is. When I'm in charge, I demand results from God. Right now, God. Okay, I gave you a chance. You didn't come through. Didn't do it. What I wanted you to do, how I wanted you to do it. I asked you to do it, and you're not doing it. And now I'm demanding. I'm demanding from God. Like, that doesn't mean he's in charge. We have to know. You know, if Henry was going to come into my house, and he promised me to rebuild my kitchen, right? And I knew he knew how to do it. My job is to let him stay out of the way, right? Let him do it. Let him make a mess. Let him take his time. Trust him. I know it's going to be good. I know he loves me. I know he's doing it for my good. He's building me. God's building in me. He's doing things in me. He's changing me. I know he is. And I'm pacing. Guys, you don't know how many weekends I've had with my life and will in God's hands. And I'm pacing, convinced that he's doing nothing. I'm wasting my time. I'm missing out on being high. I could be rolling and big and fat tonight. You know, and I miss it. And there's part of me that's really afraid. But God's building, right? He's laying foundations. He's raising up things within me. He's doing the work. And see, our soul will resist leaving it in his hands, leaving it in his care, resting and trusting that he is up to something really, really good. God will begin to rewrite the constitution in our hearts that we have written as we've grown up, right? You know what I mean by our own personal constitution. Like what I think, the vows I have made, the ways I see things, my perspective on life. He rewrites them. He changes my thinking. He changes my thinking as I let him do it. You know, Amos says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? I have to be in agreement. And he says in this Matthew 11:28 that I read you, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. This is what he promises. You guys know what a yoke is? Any farmers in here? Well, my wife and I were looking up different yokes. It was interesting. And that's not an egg. A yoke is so interesting because a yoke has these two, you know, things here. you know, these. It's got like a bar, like a wooden bar, right? And then it's got a loop, and it's got a loop. So a wooden bar and a loop and a loop. And they would put one cattle in here, right? And so we'll put a little, this is a cow or something, right? That's pretty good. It looks like a pig, but anyway. So they put the mature cow in the one side, right? Or mule, whatever. And then the other side, they would put the weaker cow, which would be, you know, me, because look at me, I'm all scared, right? Right? That's me. And what they would do is they'd put a big, strong mule in one side of the yoke. And in the other yoke, they'd put the weaker one that needs to learn. And this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying this, be yoked with me. Like, come, put my yoke on you. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to show you how it's done. Like, who's doing the heavy lifting in this? Like, who's blazing the trail? Who's walking through stuff that you can't walk through? All I'm doing is walking right next to him. All I'm doing is walking, watching how it's done, seeing him operate, watching him open doors that only he could open in our lives, seeing him do things I can't even believe he's doing. Legal stuff, people in authority signing off on you, giving you chances, doors opening. All I'm doing is walking right next to him. That's all I'm doing, is I'm yoked with Jesus. That's all I'm doing. I think that's amazing. So check it out. This would be my final little point here. Well, kind of my final point. Before I get into my last four final points. See, my battle isn't between me and Satan, really. Can I beat Satan? Like an angelic being? Can I beat an angel? You know, an eternal being in power, in wisdom, conniving, like in smarts? Like, of course I can't. But who can? See? So it's not really between me and Satan, me and drugs, me and my chemicals. It's really between God and Satan. God and drugs. God and all these things I can't handle. And my job, once again, is to get out of the way and rest. Let him do. See how they went before me? See how they went before me? See how they did it? Just walk. Just walk. Do you know how hard it is for an addict to do that? To leave it in the hands of God and just walk. Don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't grab the phone. Don't make a deal. Leave it in his hands. Guys, my wife was gone for 4 days last week. And I sat there by the fire, cup of coffee, and guess what? I just enjoy the presence of God. Man, you love me. Man, you're with me. Right? Enemy's job get me all stirred up. Wonder what I could get into. Wonder what I could do. Wonder who would answer the phone. Maybe I'll just take a little drive, you know. No. Rest. Check out the fire. Let the Lord go ahead of me. He's dealing with the enemy. He's dealing with all this stuff. The power and the genius of step three is the foundation of everything we do from here forward. Without step three, guys, no, we ain't got a chance. No way. We're yoked with him. He's walking before us. My sponsor knows everything that's going on, every threat to my sobriety. He doesn't know it after I do it. He knows it now. How many times I've told on myself to my buddy back there, embarrassing stuff. Embarrassing stuff I want to call him back and go, can we kind of keep that between us? That's a little embarrassing, right? Got to tell on myself. Okay, so if you make a decision to turn your life and will over to the care of God, It's like making a decision, I'm going to get fit this year. I'm going to be in fitness. Joining a gym and then never going, not doing the work, you know, not doing the other steps. It's one decision that leads to a bunch of other decisions that's important to follow through with, real important. But you got to remember, for encouragement's sake, that for a rocket to get out of the atmosphere, that's where it expels all of its energy. 80% of its energy is in getting out of the atmosphere. And for me to come out of addiction, guys, man, I needed a big blast, right? That's why we get a lot of support around us when we blast out of the atmosphere. And I will say this. Here's the four things real quick. This is my four things that were the last point, okay? Four things that people do that make them win in recovery. This is Wall Street Journal published just recently, 2017. Four things that people do that make them succeed. The first thing they do that makes them succeed is they go to four meetings a week for the first couple of months. At least the first couple of months. Okay, four meetings. Not three, not two, four. They don't have to be NA, don't have to be AA. Meetings, like church meetings, this is a great one. Can be 12-step based. You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. Four meetings a week. Second thing, they have a sponsor. A solid sponsor. Not they're filling in the space of my sponsor. They're a real sponsor, right? You're on the phone with them all the time. You're telling them what's going on constantly. They're working you through steps. You're open to feedback about your growth from them. Hard stuff. Let them speak to you. Stan, you're being a jerk, right? Stan, you're not doing the work. Danger, danger, Stan, right? And I let him speak into my life, and I actually let it change me. You saw him carrying and blazing the way, right? My sponsor's not powerless over my life. He has a lot of say in my life, right? So, four meetings, have a sponsor. Three, they have an area of their life where they're serving, where they're giving, right? Where they give back, where they're like cleaning, help set up chairs, making coffee, whatever. Because the life of addiction, I'm telling you, is a life all about me. I was absolutely shocked when I realized other people existed, right? And they had wants and needs and feelings. And what? It was all about me. It was like Planet Stan, right? So, four meetings, have a sponsor. Part of their life is about service. And fourth, they have a relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. And these are very real things. Now, you could drop one of them, but now you're down to 75%. Okay, you could drop two of those items. Now you're down to 50%. Do we really want to do that? I want all guns blazing. I want all engines firing. I want to recover. I want to recover, guys. I want it. I want it. So the main key point, the genius of step three, is making a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care. To the care, right? The care of God. And letting that take hold, right? When I turned my life and will over to the care of God, I called that being born again, becoming a Christian, getting saved, whatever you want to say. And I did this in every area of my life as God asked it of me. It wasn't just like this one big sweeping thing. You know, everything fell out of my life. I did this one addiction at a time. I would make that decision, and then that decision again, and then over here, that decision again. And I knew what he was asking of me when he was. It was a very personal walk. And Dave and Flory have been very much in on the decisions we make of what we're going to allow in our lives and what we're not. And the church as a whole has watched us, my wife and I both, recover. And we answer to them. We answer to them. And I've found that people that don't do that, won't do that, usually don't recover. So this is a really, really powerful thing. I would like to have my sponsor come up and lead us in a closing prayer of salvation, and of a step three I would like to see tonight. You guys can stay. We'll pray with you, whatever. We won't be all religious and like dump something on you or nothing. I mean, we're going to be here, and we want to pray with you. We want to hear that you've made this step, that tonight you've had enough. Tonight, body is going crazy, mind's going crazy. I'm making that genius decision to turn my life and will over to God. And so, Dave, will you lead us in that prayer? And Dave, thank you. Yeah.
Our Father, thank you so much for the power that you make available to us as we surrender. Lord, all of us at one time or another have recognized the reality that I'm in a place that I have no power over, and I am powerless, I'm helpless. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that was shared tonight. Father, I pray that we would be able to come to you and say, yes, Lord, I realize that I've been trying this on my own. I've been doing this on my own. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive me. I repent that I've tried it on my own for so long and it just hasn't worked. And I've destroyed so much of my life. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come into my life right now and create in me a clean heart. I thank you for what you're doing right now. I thank you for the creation that's taking place in this room right at this moment. I thank you, Lord, that being born again is not something that we can do. We didn't make ourselves be born. We had nothing to do with ourselves being born in this physical body. And the same way, we have nothing to do with actually being changed by God. It's only you who can change us. It's only you that can bring us into your kingdom. And that happens when we say, forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you have never been hiding from us, that you have never been standing way off waiting for us to find the right words or to be in the right place or to somehow try to be good enough. Father, you've been talking to us and calling us. That's everybody who's in this room tonight is evidence of the fact that you are working in our lives. It's only by your Spirit that we know to come to you. It's you, by your Spirit, that is telling us that I love you. I love you. Come to me, all who are heavy, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Father, I pray right now for each of those people who have made that decision. And, Lord, we recognize that not everybody is ready tonight. But Father, I pray that you would protect them, continue to bring people into their lives that will direct them toward you. And Lord, in your love, I pray that you would allow things to happen in their lives that head them off from those deadly things that could happen to them, that they would not perish without you. I thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. Continue to make yourself known to us throughout this evening and throughout the next few days. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to show you how much we love you. And Lord, in the beginning, it's hard to know what to do. But Father, I pray that you would give us a hunger for your word, that we would say, Lord, where do I read? What do I do, Lord? And lead us to those words in the New Testament that are red words. The words of Jesus, and help us, Lord, to learn from you and be changed. We thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. Amen.
Oh, Fail.